Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 261.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 261. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your support, as always. I would love for you to share this podcast if you do like it. If you want to rate it 5 stars, that would be fantastic as well. And things are changing. I feel motivated, inspired in different ways right now to connect with people. And if you're a member, you're going to be going through this. Even if you're not a member, you're going to be going through this. You're going to be hearing from me a lot more. A lot more. Yes, this is to come in the future. In a good way. In a good way. Because I'm going to be giving you a lot more education. A lot more ways to connect with me. A lot more ways to learn. A lot more ways to just get, you know, lessons about things and jazz piano that you need. And in life. And in overall. And I have so many ambitions in life. And I'm a very motivated person, and I love just working on my passion, which is jazz piano, but I have a lot of other ambitions too, and I'm starting another business to teach musicians and creatives how to start their own online business like I did with Jazz Piano School, help them pursue their passions, help them support themselves as an artist so they don't have to feel like they're struggling. I love motivating people. I love talking, and obviously, if you've been a longtime podcast listener, you've probably gathered that from a lot of the different types of podcasts I've done. Sometimes I'll just speak about things. I'll speak to things in the podcast without even teaching much, because sometimes in life, that's all we need. We need some hope. We need some motivation. We need some love. We need some support. We need to feel cared for in order to get through hard times. Everyone goes through hard times, including myself. We all have self-doubts. Right? We all lack confidence in certain areas. And sometimes that's the thing that's needed. It's not me saying, okay, you got to play a flat 9 here, but when you're playing 3 and 7, right? Yada, yada, yada. Sometimes that's great, but that's not what everyone needs in a particular moment in time. So with that being said, I am kind of revamping our membership a lot to help people as much as possible. I want to be there much more. I want my team to be there much more to help you be accountable, right? For your goals, to help you practice, to help you show up. The number one reason that I get from students not succeeding in accomplishing their jazz piano dream or the goal they've set out to accomplish is mainly because of time, right? Oh, I don't have the time. Like, they'll sign up for Jazz Piano School, but they don't have the time. They don't find the time. And you know what? Guess what? Everyone has the same amount of time in a day, right? But it's up to us to make a decision and prioritize the things that we want to move forward with in our lives, make progress at, because if we don't do that, then other things will take that time up. So we have to make a decision to prioritize those things, schedule them in the calendar, make sure we do them. But again, like I said before, we always need help. And this is not just for the members, obviously. I care about everybody. I care about anyone who doesn't ever sign up for the membership that we offer. I care about everyone just listening to the podcast, all the fans out there that will never, ever buy anything from me. That's okay. I don't do the podcast just so you'll buy your membership. Like, I wouldn't have 261 podcast episodes if my only goal was to help you get, you know, into Jazz Piano School and get more of the education that I offer and that we offer, right? Like, I legit want to help you, and the podcast is a great vehicle to give you lessons, to give you information, and it's very transformative. So many people and students have actually emailed me and be like, from your podcast alone, I've learned more about jazz piano than I ever have. And that's fantastic. That gives me so much fulfillment. And I love to hear that. I mean, it really makes my day. It makes me smile, puts a smile on my face that I'm helping people in so many different ways, even without them having to spend money, because I'm in the same boat. I want to learn different things too. And it stinks, you know? I'm not a millionaire. I can't afford everything. There's things I want in life too. I want to gain knowledge. There's classes I want to take. There's courses I want to buy. And some of them are really expensive. Now, I don't knock the people for charging that much, but you know, they do offer a lot of amazing information outside their courses as well, which I'm like, oh shoot, like this person actually cares. This person wants to help besides just, you know, saying, oh, if you want all the information, here's my course. You know, it's so-and-so amount of money, right? But they don't give anything else away, right? That's kind of crummy. So I always love to help. And again, inside my podcast lessons, there's so much information. And again, I'm feeling very inspired and I'm kind of ramping things up. I'm going to be ramping things up. So if you're a longtime podcast listener, and I don't just mean with podcasts, I just mean with the amount of attention you're going to get, the amount of live streams, podcasts, right? Emails that you're going to get from me, value, lessons, all these different types of things. And not just piano lessons, but lessons in life, right? Things to think about consistently. Right? Ways to hold you accountable, ways to help you and support you in your dream of learning jazz piano. That's always my goal. People have done it for me. They've helped me. They've held me accountable. And when they've done that, I've loved it. Now, does it stink in the moment sometimes? Yeah, because hearing the truth sometimes is hard. Most of the time it's hard, right? The truth is hard, but guess what? It helps you. And the more you can be open to that, the more you can be open to hearing the truth, accepting it, absorbing it, and confronting it, and realizing, okay, they're right. I do need to set some time away to do this. I have not been doing it. I have not been giving it my full attention, my full energy. I've not been trying my best, right? The more you can realize that, then it becomes a fun experience because you realize you have so much potential. So much opportunity to actually accomplish the thing that you want to do, right? Now, what stinks even more is if you have been trying your best, you have been on this journey where you've been giving 200%, but nothing's working. That's a hard place to be in, right? And that's a whole other different kind of path, you know, as far as support goes, because at that point, you probably need some more technical, methodical, surgical guidance and specific education because you're probably not doing something right, which is holding you back from making progress. And obviously that's what Jazz Piano School is for, the membership and all the amazing paths that we have inside of Jazz Piano School, the learning areas, the curriculum, so on and so forth. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox here and get to this episode. Trent's back. Trent Bryden, amazing jazz piano school educator. And I'm going to be starting a program, by the way, in the fall. And that's going to be the Jazz Piano School Accelerator Program. This is going to be a 3-month program where you get to intimately work with me over Zoom or some vehicle or modality that we're going to use. But it will be a conversation. I will be listening to your playing. I will be speaking with you over some sort of internet software. It won't just be chat, right? A lot of the live streams, if you have showed up to my live streams, you're chatting, but you're not, I don't really see you. And again, this will be the only way I do teaching in-person teaching like this will be through this program. At this point in my career, I don't do any teaching just because I don't have the time. Like I don't have the time. I have so many obligations. I'm doing so many things in life. I literally do not have the time to do one-on-one lessons in any sort of way. And there's other amazing educators out there that do that and need students. And so I always refer people, and those teachers and students are very happy for me to do that. But this will be the only way that you can access me, and I will be teaching students will be through this program. It's going to be amazing, accelerated 3-month program. It's meant for all levels, but I will be coaching and teaching you and mentoring you in exactly what you need to make significant progress in those 3 months. There'll be group lessons. There'll be small pods that I'll be working with. You'll get private lessons. There'll be guest instructors coming in. There'll be practice sessions, master classes. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. Now, if you're interested in doing that, simply shoot me an email, brendanlowe@jazzpianoschool.com. That's my private email. Just shoot me an email. And I'll put you on the waiting list. I'll put you on the guest list because I'm sending information out right now. It's going to be starting in the fall, first week of September, I believe, right after Labor Day. That's going to be September 5th, I believe. I'm just checking my calendar right now. September 6th, excuse me. And so that will be an amazing way to work with me, work with my team. And again, if you have been stuck, if you've been feeling like you are going through just a lot of roadblocks, you don't really know how to kind of get out of what you're in, you're spinning your wheels, this is an amazing opportunity to break out of that, get some freshness, join an amazing small cohort, right? An intimate community. Remember, you learn so much from watching other people too. So I'll be working with other people in front of you, like on the Zoom, and you'll get to see the things that they're doing because we learn so much by watching what other people are doing, the things they're doing right, the things that they're not really getting. And you're like, oh, wow, yeah, I kind of don't do that sometimes too, but I do that. So I need to incorporate that more into my playing. And like, that's going to help me more if I practice that. Like, it's so informative. It's so educational, not to mention just fun. Like hanging out with your other people on the same journey with you, connecting with others so you don't feel alone in this journey. I mean, we all need that. Just like I started this podcast off with, we need support. We need to feel like we're being supported. We need to feel like we're in a community of like-minded individuals going down this jazz piano journey to, you know, feel inspired, feel motivated, and just feel connected to others. Humans are always looking for connection. It's just a natural thing inside of us that we're always striving for is connection. It's just part of the human race. We love connection, right? So it's going to be really, really fun. I'm really excited about that. Again, just shoot me an email. I'm sending information out right now, and I will be continuing to send information out over the summer, actually. And for the people that sign up early, they will get access to me throughout the summer all the way up to the start of the program, which is really, really cool, meaning you're going to get bonus time with me and an extra kind of like assessment from me around your playing, and that's really cool. So if you do sign up early, you will get all the months up to when we start that will allow you to work with me in that close, intimate setting. All right? So this podcast is going to be on a really cool subject that Trent has brought to us. I couldn't figure out the word for a second. Has brought to us, and this is going to be on the classical aspects that Bill Evans would bring to his playing. And in all playing, I think a lot of us really forget that music is music because it moves the soul. And the way it does that, and the way other music does that, especially classical music, right, is through a lot of nuanced details and techniques that aren't found in jazz, right? Classical music is not improv music. They're playing sheet music, and they're playing the same sheet music every time, but there is room for interpretations, right? Whoever the conductor is can change different ways they play sections. They can move something faster, slower, louder, softer, dynamics, right? Phrasing, soulful, emotions. There's so many different ways and ideas that we can take from classical music that allow us to create this beautiful, moving music that emotes different things inside of us and bring it into jazz. And that gets lost a lot in jazz, honestly, because we're always looking for the cool licks, the cool voicings, right? The hacks, the strategies, the burning lines. We forget that even with a couple notes played beautifully, right, in a gorgeous, intentional way, we can make amazing jazz music without finding and playing all these fancy things that we're always looking for on YouTube or the internet, right? So I'm going to let Trent take it away. Hope you guys have a fantastic day, and here we go.
What's up, guys? This is Trent with Jazz Piano School, and today we're going to be talking about the great Bill Evans. Now, there are countless videos on YouTube with some variation of the title, How to Play Like Bill Evans, or How to Get the Bill Evans Sound, or Learn Bill Evans Voicings. and the JPS channel has created plenty of content on his music as well. However, for all the great theoretical content out there about the structure of Bill's harmony, melodic development, and chord voicings, it's important to understand that these are all just byproducts rather than being the thing itself that Bill was really doing with his music. He believed in jazz as a process, and in his work, we really find a combination of the classical process and the jazz process to create something beautiful. It's the unique interplay between these two dimensions, so to speak, that creates the Bill Evans experience. There's an interview with Marion McPartland on Piano Jazz, which is a wonderful program, by the way, and I wish we had something like it around today. If there is, please let me know in the comments because I would love to check it out. Maybe we should create something like that within Jazz Piano School. Anyways, Bill plays Waltz for Debbie, and as he concludes, Marion states, "Unlike I've ever heard it before, Waltz for Debbie." To which Bill immediately replies, somewhat taken aback, "That's the original version, more or less, from when I was 24 years old." So while the jazz process truly is about creating spontaneously in the moment, the arranging or classical process is not. Bill fully embraced both ends of the spectrum, and at the same time, both ends of the spectrum are infused with elements from the other. For example, his improvisations are shaped by predominantly worked out left-hand voicings. The inner voices are very thought out and very composed. His arrangements, the classical side of things, are not stagnant arrangements. They're like how water never truly stands still. It's constantly in motion, yet it appears as one body from a distance. The framework, the voicings, the phrasings, the melody, everything is the same, even years later, but there's a fluidity, a sense of spontaneity that's very hard to find in pure classical music. So if you want to sound like Bill Evans, you have to separate the style of Bill Evans from the process. And you have to separate the jazz process from the classical process. And these are subjective words. You can call them whatever you want, but they're two ends of a spectrum, and you have to treat the classical, as I'm calling it, end of the spectrum with equal respect and time as the jazz process. And when you do this, you can learn to play from the same basic framework as Bill, yet sound completely individual. You'll sound like Bill on a structural level and also sound like yourself on the outer surface. So I'm going to walk you through a few of the many aspects of the classical process using the tune Stella by Starlight. So the first thing to talk about when we're talking about the classical side of things is coming up with an arrangement from a place of emotion or feeling or experience. When we're working out a tune and working out an arrangement, we want to come first from real feeling and a real idea, a concept that's independent of music theory, independent of notes. We use the notes and the music theory as tools to get across whatever idea it is that we're playing with. And it doesn't have to be super literal. You don't have to, you know, literally reflect or very programmatically reflect the words of the song or anything like that, although you can, and there's times to do that, but you at least want to come from a place that you've established this framework in your head of where you're going to be coming from. So for Stella by Starlight, it really is, it comes from a movie that is, it's labeled as a horror movie. It's not exactly a horror movie. You can go check it out for yourself, but it has a sense of unease, a strong sense of unease and kind of creepiness in a way, but alongside this innocence, this purity, and it's kind of a constant struggle. Those elements are both present throughout the film, and for me, those elements are present throughout the song, this struggle between uneasiness and uncertainty and, you know, something's wrong here, and also we can't quite put our finger on what. and there's a sense of innocence and purity and beauty, and these things together create the song. With that being said, you can create an arrangement from that framework. So let me play just the first couple bars, something I've come up with that idea at the source. Excuse me, I started on the wrong bass note. Although, that could be cool too. Play it one more time. One more time. Notice how each time I'm playing basically the same notes, the same structures, the same descending bass line, the same basic voicings, but there's a little bit of fluidity there. There's that improvisational element, but this is all coming not from a place of theory, although I could explain every single one of those things that I'm doing with theory. That's not where it's coming from. I also could try to literally explain how it's being derived from a place of uneasiness set against purity, but it's not that literal. it's like it comes from that place, but it's not literal. But let me show you both of those things. So coming from a standpoint of that kind of uneasiness, really this first chord is a B♭7. We're commonly used to it as a E♭7 flat 5, but really it's the tonic chord set against the diminished with that tonic note in it. So really you have both the major triad set against a diminished chord that has a minor triad in there. So it's like the most stable thing you can get, the one chord, with this very kind of open sounding. You got the sharp 11 in there and also the minor third. Those are both kind of like spreading out from the major third, but they're also independent of it. Ultimately, it sounds like this. And then from a very technical point of view, there's some counterpoint going on in there. There's some ideas of the left hand voices anticipating what the melody is going to do. So like notice what this left hand voice is going to do. See how this left hand is, it's hinting at the melody above while then moving kind of into this downward spiraling thing, and the voices just keep moving down. It's like pulling it into a darker place while the melody still has yet to move up. So it's things like that that are kind of like a hybrid of emotional and theoretical that give this type of playing its really own unique sound. And then once you kind of have an arrangement down, however you come up with it between that hybrid process, you really want to pay attention to each voice where it's coming from, where it's going, and then you can develop ideas based on the individual voices. So, like, you really want to play with just a melody voice and think about the phrasing of it. Not just the notes, but the phrasing, the up and down movement. Here's the melody right here. So, you know, you can play it kind of out of time and really just feel the flow of the melody and try to make beautiful phrases with it and really hear each note for what it is. And then you can start adding in the other voices of the arrangement that you've come up with. See, this is where if you don't have an arrangement, you just get stuck back in trying to come up with what notes to play and you can't even think about this stuff. To me and to what I learned in my classical studies and what Bill would probably say about his arranged side of things is that the music can't really start until you really have internalized the form of what you're playing. In classical music, very literally, the music doesn't start until you have all the notes memorized and under your fingers and you don't have to use the sheet music. You don't even have to think about it. At that point, then you can start making real music. And here, that's true as well. So we can start adding in these other voices. Like you can play everything, the melody against the bass voice like this. Let me actually put the bass voice where it's supposed to be down below. Right, and there's a lot to explore there. Without those inner voices in there, you can really hear how everything is set against the tonic. It's all just, you know, the one. But then when you start adding in the colors, and then the lower voice, you can hear how the form starts to take place. But by paying attention to each individual voice, there's a couple things that will come from it. One, you'll be able to establish good fingering so you can make good phrasing. So, like, for example, in this arrangement, the top two voices sound like this. With everything. Something like that. But there's a moment in there where I'm not going to be able to connect my fingers. I'm not going to be able to connect the phrase unless I switch the fingers I'm using. Right. It's right there. I want to play this with my thumb, but I can't because I know the next note down is this C, and I really want this smooth voice leading. So then I realize I have to play this second note here, this D, with my pointer finger. So that way everything can connect smoothly together. And it's things like that that are really what make Bill Evans sound the way he sounds, his classical sense of playing the piano, it really contributes to his sound, and it can contribute to yours as well if that's the way that you want to go. There's a lot of jazz pianists that don't play like that, that don't play super melodically, but a lot of the great ones do, not just Bill Evans. I would say most of the jazz pianists that you know and love really have a strong classical training, or at the very least, they play in that kind of style, that very smooth voice leading, smooth phrasing style. And if they don't, it's intentional. Now, the next thing to point out is when you really get into these voices, it's funny to me, the deeper you get into the classical process, that's where it leads most naturally to the jazz process, the improvisation thing. So that's what I find so cool. So I studied classical music my whole life and in college, and it's like it always felt like something was missing, because it's like, man, we're getting really into the emotion of the thing and the inner workings of the thing, but then we're not able to explore that at all. We're just kind of pointing it out. So what we can do as jazz musicians is we can first establish this form, establish the voices, establish the feeling, the story, the emotion, and then in our improvisation we can explore these elements, you know, in real time. You know, like an explorer, like we're not just pointing out something to someone. We're exploring something in real time. But first, you go into the depths on your own and figuring out where you're going to explore. So, for example, if you look at these first two voices, these first two notes, really what that is to me is a G minor triad going to an A triad. That's what that is to me. And so shifting over to the jazz side of things, or the improvisational side of things, I'm going to explore how these two chords, you know, connect over the first couple phrases of Stella by Starlight. So like something like this. And then you can actually put kind of the common changes or the real book changes or whatever. You know, you normally play this E minor 7 flat 5 to the A7. And that G minor A thing really works over that very well. But it's not as ticky-tacky as very clearly playing the kind of G minor to the A. They all kind of exist in the same shell, the same space. And you can play that over the whole 2-5, because in reality it's not a 2-5. But it's something like this. Continuing on to the next phrase. You know, things like that. But I'm playing within this framework that I've discovered from the classical process, from playing the individual voices, from trying to bring out the individual voices. I discovered this kind of unique harmonic thing that in reality is not that, it's not that special. It's just, it's pretty two simple basic chords that you might have played anyways, but now you're kind of doing it intentionally. It's coming from somewhere. It's not just random. It's coming from something that you've developed and you've discovered. So there's a lot of benefits playing like this. One, it's just beautiful. Two, it kind of connects everything instead of everything being randomly disconnected. Three, it helps you memorize tunes better, because everything means something, and everything means something for you specifically. You come up with these things based on your own personal experience, your own knowledge, your own idea of what the song should be. You're not just trying to play changes. So it helps to memorize things better, and it just makes it all around more meaningful. There's a lot of tips and tricks on how to actually bring out voices Like in classical music, like when a classical pianist or teacher says, like, look at this voicing, this is how to play this voicing, they're not talking about what notes to play. They're talking about how to bring out individual voices. So one quick little thing you can do is when you're trying to bring out the top note, one little practice tip, you can hold out the top note and play staccato or quick short release on the bottom notes like this. The fourth finger and the fifth finger in your right hand and in your left hand are really important. So you get those strong. So you can also bring out this bass note above everything. And then eventually you've got the top and bottom voices. And then together. You can spend a long time doing that. I mean, there's a lot of different techniques. That was just a quick little taste, but you can get really into bringing these individual voices out. And I would really encourage you to explore the classical side of piano alongside the jazz side of piano and combine them together in your own unique ways. You can stay kind of on either end of the spectrum, wherever you want, whatever your personal preference is, everyone's different. But I encourage you to at least acknowledge that it's a spectrum. Acknowledge that great pianists like Bill Evans compose. They don't just improvise. And their compositions, their arranging, their very strict structure leads to the freedom. As Bill Evans likes to say, you can't be free without something to be free from. And it's pretty cool when you create the structure to be free from. It's a pretty cool thing. So I hope this is good food for thought, and you guys have fun implementing this into your playing. And let me know if you find anything like that Marion McPartland podcast that was around back in the day, because I would love to listen. If not, maybe we'll start one. All right. Happy practicing.